After showering, Anya felt fully healed and decided to forego checking in with Dr. Tico. As she entered the dining pavilion, she spotted Rue sitting alone at a table with a drink in front of him. He glanced up as she approached.
Ah, you're looking quite fetching this evening.
Such an antiquated term, but a nice one nonetheless. Thank you, Rue.
You're welcome.
Can I get you anything, ma'am?
A glass of Pinot Grigio, please.
Very good.
Still thinking about where we were a few hours ago?
I don't know. I've been around many, many years and have seen quite a bit in that time. That was something else, however. I'm glad you were there with me.
Believe it or not, I feel the same way.
So, Hans certainly seems to have taken a liking to you.
Has he now?
Anya, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Do you think it might be serious?
Stop it, Rue. Hans is a nice diversion right now. How could I possibly have any sort of lasting relationship with this sword following me around?
I don't know. But the responsibility of carrying that blade shouldn't mean you have to sacrifice your happiness.
I think I abandoned that notion a while ago, Rue. I know where the sword has taken me to this point, and I know what I'm liable to be involved with in the future.
Do you?
Sure. Chaos.
Here comes your wine.
Anya accepted the glass.
Thank you.
She raised it to Rue.
Well, here's to a couple of survivors.
And unlikely allies sometimes.
And that.
Rue glanced at his watch.
I do wish the boys would hurry up and get here. I'm starving, and that buffet looks amazing.
Let's wait 5 more minutes, and if they don't show up, I'm getting some food, too. I'm famished.
It is a deal. So, what will you do with Hans? Kiss him goodbye when this is all over? I'm curious.
No, you're nosy. And to be honest, I haven't really given it a lot of thought. We've got a few days left here, and I intend to use that time to do what I came here to do. Relax.
Nothing wrong with that. I myself will be leaving tomorrow morning, I expect.
Really? So soon?
Well, there's really not much left for me here now, is there? The pearl is still buried underwater, and I don't think there's much chance of getting it out now with all that coral lying atop it.
Plus, there's the whole radiation thing.
Indeed. How fascinating, though. What are the chances of something like that occurring naturally?
I have no idea.
Nor do I. But I intend to find out. It's a shame there wasn't some way to test it and find out exactly how old it is. I imagine that would tell us an awful lot about life in prehistoric Earth.
I wonder why we haven't found more evidence of this prehistory before now.
Perhaps the apocalypse that destroyed the ancient civilizations was so total that it simply erased the evidence. Turned the Earth into a blank canvas, so to speak.
It must have. But what could have caused such a level of destruction?
I don't know. I mean, we've just seen evidence that radioactive material occurred naturally in some form. Perhaps the people who populated the Earth before us had learned to harness it.
Weaponize it, too?
It's possible.
And that might mean they somehow lost control of it at some point and unleashed hell.
Ah, but for the curiosity of man, the universe might be a safe and peaceful place.
Anya looked at her watch.
And that's 5 minutes gone now. I'm hungry.
And I'm curious. I'll be back shortly.
Anya wandered over to the buffet. She grabbed a plate and started piling the food on. Tonight they had several varieties of fresh fish, sushi, Filipino noodle dishes, more flank steak, and a fresh lechon. Anya grabbed a little bit of everything. She smiled to herself.
Gotta keep up my strength, don't I?
She saw Rue having a rather animated conversation with the desk clerk.
What's he doing now?
Finally, she saw his shoulder droop in acceptance, and he nodded several times before thanking the man. Looking rather dejected, he came walking back across the pavilion.
Everything okay?
Finish getting your food, and then come sit with me, all right?
Sure.
Anya watched Rue walk away and then turned back to finish filling up her plate.
I guess I should have brought that umbrella. Oh well, maybe Hans will let me take refuge in his cabana later.
Anya walked back to the table she shared with Rue.
So what happened? I saw you speaking with the desk clerk. You don't look too happy.
Well, there's nothing that can be done about it now, anyway. The weather has certainly seen to that.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, Anya.
Rue, if you've got something to say, just spit it out, would you?
All right. Hans is gone, along with Gottlieb and Mueller.
What do you mean they're gone?
It seems our German friends checked out immediately after we got back. And as far as anyone seems to know, they're already heading back to wherever they came from.
For a moment, Anya was too shocked to do anything but sit and stare at Rue. Then she stared at the pile of food in front of her and realized that her appetite had checked out as well.
I've got a really bad feeling about this.
Indeed. What would make them simply drop everything and run away? I mean, Han seemed genuinely smitten with you. Unless it was all an act.
Oh, at this point, I think we can conclude that he's been playing me like a grand piano. But to what end?
Perhaps we have to go back and re-examine why they were here in the first place.
You mean the pearl?
They traveled here to obtain it, didn't they? What do they know that we don't? Was there more to their quest than they led us to believe?
Anything's possible. We need more information. And I know just the guy that can get it for us.
As she took her cell phone out of her purse, Anya thought about how the last thing she wanted to do was make this particular call. The problem was, she had nowhere else to turn. George was one of the most talented hackers she knew. He'd gotten his start busting into places like NORAD and the Pentagon. When the government found out what he could do, they decided it would be better to have him working for them rather than against them.
We don't even know what they're up to.
But they're up to something.
This guy can tell us what it is?
If he can't, no one can. The problem is, he's got a big crush on me. It gets a little awkward sometimes.
Oh? Do I need to excuse myself if you two are going to engage in a little telecommunications dalliance?
Don't be gross.
Hi, Anya.
How did you know it was me?
I hacked into your email the other day. Saw you were going to the Philippines. Besides, I don't get many international calls unless it's you.
You hacked my email?
I'm kidding. Seriously. I wouldn't invade your privacy like that. At least not unless I had access to some mini high-def cameras that I could implant in your shower.
You're gonna make me regret calling you. Seriously.
Okay. What can I do you for?
I need to know where a few friends of mine went. They've disappeared.
Maybe you were rude to them too.
That's not it, George. They were here in the Philippines, and now they've taken off for someplace else. Presumably home to Germany, but I can't be sure.
I assume they're German?
Yes.
Okay, feed me their names and I'll see what I can do.
I only have one last name, but he's not traveling with them now. He was traveling with them before, however.
That's not much to go on, but it's a start. What's the name?
Speer. S-P-I-E-R. First name, Joachim. J-O-A-C-H-I-M.
Okay, hang on.
What have you got, George?
Joachim Speer. Flew from Frankfurt to Delhi and then to Manila. Traveled with four men, Heinkel Gudiger, Gottlieb Schwarzenwalder, Hans Schmidt, and Carl Mueller. Those names sound right?
Yes, they do. Can you work back and see any departing information on where Hans, Gottlieb, and Mueller went just a few hours ago?
I'm assuming they booked round-trip tickets. Hang on. Well, that's interesting.
What is?
Seems your boys didn't head back to Germany after all.
Where did they go?
Hang on, it's coming up. Let's see, Manila to Osaka, then on to Minneapolis. From there, they are booked to fly into Logan International Airport in Boston.
Boston? Why would they be going there?
Search me, babe. I can't divine that kind of information. But I can tell you that they are currently on a layover in Osaka. You want me to have security pull them and hold them in custody for you?
You can do that?
Technically, but it's usually done at the behest of my esteemed employers, not on an individual basis. You'd owe me really big if I did that.
I don't want that kind of debt on my shoulders, George.
Gee, make it sound less pleasant, why don't you?
Look, George, I don't need them pulled off the plane. Not yet, anyway.
Who are these guys?
I don't really know. I got mixed up with them over here, and we went diving a few times. One of them is supposedly ex-German special operations.
Really? Tell me more.
He saw action in Afghanistan. I did some Google searches, but couldn't find out anything.
Google, please.
Well, George, that's all us civilian peons have access to.
Oh, I know. I was out there before. I know what it's like. But it sure is a lot nicer being here where the real information is.
So prove it, hotshot.
Prove what?
Prove how nice it is. Dig me up something on Hans and tell me why he's in such a hurry to get to Boston.
If I do this for you, I'm going to expect something in return.
Fine. How much?
I don't do this for the money. I've got more money than I know what to do with right now.
All right. What then?
Dinner. Just you and me. For real this time. No more standing me up like last time.
George, there really was an emergency. I wasn't lying. Shut up, Rue.
Whatever. I don't care about that. Just promise me that we'll go out for a nice dinner.
In Washington?
No, anywhere you want. Anywhere. Any city, any country. I don't care. It's all me. I've got all this cash in the bank and no one to spend it on. I work, I eat microwavable meals over the kitchen sink, and I play video games until I fall asleep on the couch. There's nothing wrong with wanting to eat a nice meal with an incredibly beautiful woman.
Well, thank you.
I mean it. I'll be happy to dig up every little juicy tidbit on this guy, and in exchange, you agree to let me take you out for a fabulous meal. Look, Anya, I'm not under any illusions here. I know I'm not your type, but I would like the honor of taking you out for a proper meal.
You know what, George? I think you may have just convinced me to give you a shot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sweet! I'll call you back as soon as I have something.
Thanks. You'll get to work digging stuff up.
And you're going to voluntarily carbonate his hormones. How utterly altruistic of you.
Oh, he's not that bad.
I'll bet you $1,000 he lives in his mother's basement. And eats cheese puffs for breakfast.
You owe me a grand. He's got a high-rise condo on the Potomac.
Really?
Well, we'll call it even at 500. I think he does eat cheese puffs for breakfast.
Fair enough. How'd you find this guy?
He found me while I was working a story on black helicopters and conspiracy theories about Area 51.
Not exactly your usual fare for that television show of yours.
I know. The producers wanted a show to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the Roswell incident. I started poking around, and George found me after I sent a few emails to some supposed authorities on the matter.
And the course of true love has run smoothly ever since. How touching.
Hello?
Anya?
Yeah, George, what's up?
Anya, where the hell did you find these guys?
What's that supposed to mean?
It means get ready for me to lay some really heavy shit on you.
Tell me. And don't hold anything back.
These guys are all XKSK. Do you know what that is?
Oh, I know KSK stands for Kommando Spezialkräfte, so there's special ops. Tough guys.
The toughest. KSK is what became of the West German GSG-9 unit after the fall of communism, except that the KSK is more badass. These guys are the crowd equivalent of our Delta Force, and then some. They've been on secret missions all over the world, even if the German government doesn't admit it. They've been in every major conflict and a lot more of the low-intensity ones as well.
So what Hans told me about Afghanistan was legitimate?
Oh, he was there all right. And he was the only member of his team to come back from a mission. But it isn't a very nice story. There was suspicion that he killed the other members of his team himself.
Why would he do a thing like that?
Well, here's where it gets a little dicey. Seems like there was a nationalistic splinter group within KSK. These guys were so far right-wing, they made Hitler look like he spent his summers working for Greenpeace. They wanted the expulsion of all foreigners from German soil. Seriously anti-immigration. They wanted to dismantle the Turkish neighborhoods in German cities and send them all packing. Crazy stuff.
Maybe not as crazy as it used to be. That kind of stuff is happening everywhere, even in the U.S.
Anyway, the group was exposed, and those who had pledged loyalty to it were booted out of the KSK with orders that if they ever spoke about their time inside the unit, they'd be arrested for treason.
That didn't seem to stop Hans from fabricating a story for me the other night.
Was he trying to get in your pants?
Never mind, just keep going.
Well, your boy Hans kicked around in a couple of grunt jobs for a few months after Berlin heaved him. But just as his savings account started to run out, he got a payday in the form of about $50,000.
Sign-on bonus?
That's what I thought too. You know, a lot of these former special ops guys go into security work. Close protection stuff that takes them abroad. Either that or mercenary work. The jobs pay well, so the influx of funds didn't set off any alarms in Berlin. It probably should have.
So how do you know about it then?
I can't actually tell you because it's classified. Let's just say that our government likes to keep tabs on the most highly specialized units all over the world. If you're in one of those units or one of those teams, chances are pretty good we have a file on you.
Why would you care about who is in special operations?
You have any idea what these guys are capable of, Anya? With their skills and know-how, they could literally bring down governments in weeks, if not days. It's not just that they know how to use explosives, it's that they understand the soft spots in government bureaucracies, how they work, what it takes to bribe the right people, and how best to cripple them. These guys get sent abroad to be fifth columns within the shadows of certain nations. At any time, they can pull the trigger and collapse whomever they want. They're not just dangerous in conventional terms, they're dangerous in unseen, intangible terms as well.
Never thought of it like that.
Well, trust me, we have. So, where was I?
About $50,000 into the story.
Right. So anyway, your boy Hans comes into that money, and then the next day, disappears. We lost him.
You lost him?
Surveillance in the program isn't like a stakeout. We don't have people sitting on these targets. We keep tabs on the stuff we can monitor with a few keystrokes and a software package. So if someone decides to drop out of circulation, we don't usually sound alarm bells, nor do we know about it until something sparks our interest.
Like, say, a long-lost friend calling you up from the Philippines and asking about one of your targets?
Now you're getting the hang of things.
And I'm thrilled. Where did he go? Do you have any idea?
Austria. A small town there named Kitzelplatz. Try to find that on your precious Google and it won't even show up. That's how tiny and insignificant it is. At least to them.
But you know about it.
Yeah. Hans traveled there to meet with his friends.
Let me guess. Heinkel, Gottlieb, and Mueller.
Hey, give the little lady a Cupid doll. They stayed in a small bed and breakfast and had long walks in the woods, longer dinners, and lots of beer.
So what's the deal on Heinkel, Mueller, and Gottlieb? Were they in the KSK as well?
Yep. And they were also part of the same fringe group. So when Hans got the boot, so did they. Needless to say, they must have been really, really pissed.
What happened at that meeting?
We're not sure. We know that they stayed in Kitzelplatz for about 3 days. Then they drove in a single car back into Germany and all the way to Munich without stopping.
Without stopping?
Well, except for gas and stuff.
Who did they meet with in Munich?
Joachim Speer.
And what's Speer's role in all of this? The most I could find was that he was a former German paratrooper who made his money after he got out of his service by investing.
That's all true. Speer was an investment genius. They say he picked stocks the way some guys know how to pick horses at the track. But Speer didn't need someone paying off a jockey to pick his winners. The guy had a feel for the markets, knew just where to stick all his cash. He made a fortune and then doubled, tripled, and quadrupled it in just a matter of a few years.
I'm surprised there isn't more information about him on the web. I couldn't find all that much.
Speer's notorious for avoiding the limelight. Wants nothing to do with the high society scene, movie premieres, any of that junk. Speer's main goal in life is to not be seen at all. If no one knew who he was, he'd be a million times happier.
He seems to have succeeded admirably in that goal. When was he diagnosed with cancer?
Huh?
Cancer. He said he had cancer. He told me to my face that his doctors had given him months to live.
Anya. Joachim Speer is in perfect health. I have his latest medical records here, ran them through the translation software, and there's not one mention of cancer. The guy's a poster child for longevity. As far as anyone is concerned, Speer ought to live into his hundreds, for crying out loud.
Why would he tell me that?
I don't know. Maybe he had an alternate agenda.
Can you do me a favor?
Sure.
See if there's any indication that the area around Palawan experienced any type of earthquake earlier today.
Hang on a second. Palawan, Philippines. Nope. Nothing registered on any of the geological service monitors. If you felt something, it must have been highly localized.
Well, how could that be? It felt like a massive earthquake underwater. Things were shaking, ceiling collapsing, walls splitting. How could that have been fabricated?
Explosives.
Really?
You'd need an expert in demolitions to pull it off, but if they knew what they were doing, sure.
And a former KSK operator?
Yeah, he'd have all the know-how to do something like that.
We really got played here.
So, getting back to Speer for a moment?
Yes?
Turns out he's something of an ultra-nationalist himself. Really appreciated the fascist point of view. Began espousing it to several people close to him, but they just branded him a lunatic. So he started frequenting the hangouts of special ops guys.
So it appears he found himself an audience, huh?
Yep. Hans and the others became Speer's supporters. But Speer didn't publish papers or do anything to call attention to himself. That would have gone against the desire for no publicity. Instead, they started meeting in secret, planning God knows what.
We don't know what they were up to?
No.
Damn. Was Speer into archaeology?
Almost as much as you, it would seem. He amassed quite a collection of relics that were all supposed to have mystical powers or something attached to them.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe he's as zealous an occultist as Hitler was. I don't know. But he seemed to have this strange belief that these relics had powers he could tap into.
And what would he do with that power if he could tap into it?
Good question.
Are they still in Osaka?
For another 3 hours. Then they fly into the U.S.
I need to get back to the U.S. too, apparently.
You're going after them?
Yes, I am.
I wouldn't recommend that, Anya. These guys are dangerous badasses.
Yeah, well, I've been known to be pretty badass myself.
Anya winked at Rue, who raised one eyebrow in response.
Okay, well, I guess you'll need tickets.
I'll need a lot more than that. It's raining here to beat the band. They say they can't get us out for a day at least. By then, this could all be over.
Let me see what I can do about that. And by the way, you can't go after these guys by yourself.
I have a friend with me. I think he will be willing to help.
Yeah? Is he any good?
He's kind of old. But I think he's still got some fight in him.
Bah.
Well, you're gonna need it. Trying to take down 5 guys isn't something you do without a lot of support.
What did you just say?
Support. You'll need support.
No, before that. You said 5 guys?
That's right. Hans, Mueller, and Gottlieb. They're waiting with Heinkel and Speer for the flight to the U.S.
When Anya told George that they needed a way out of the Philippines, he didn't waste any time. Using his government credentials, he'd managed to have a military helicopter fly out, in the midst of the storm, no less, to pick up Anya and Rue and take them back to Manila, where a Gulfstream G650 was idling on the runway, courtesy of the United States government. Soon after, they were cruising at 38,000 feet at close to the speed of sound, surrounded by leather-trimmed, soundproofed luxury. Rue sat next to Anya, swiveling in his chair, and enjoying the view out of the 28-inch windows that ran down the sides of the fuselage.
I must say, I'm quite impressed with the capabilities of your would-be suitor, Anya. This is a $60 million plane, after all. The boy obviously has good taste.
What he's got is connections.
Marvelous plane. Marvelous. I hope you treat this kid well, Anya.
You sound like you want to date him.
After all of this, I just might. Now, let's try to figure out exactly what we've stumbled onto here, shall we?
I have to admit, I'm a bit curious as to why you're still along on this ride. I know you want the pearl for yourself, but you never told me why.
I thought it might be a means of bridging our world and the next, of elongating life.
Elongating life? Rue, you're almost 600 years old. How much longer do you want to live?
Who knows? Why not forever?
You'd really be happy living forever?
I don't know, but it might be nice to have the option.
There have been times when I wondered whether it would be better just to lose my life and move on. Especially when I find myself questioning exactly what my purpose is here with the sword at this point in our history. Why now? Why me?
So you'd hope to find the answers once you arrived at the pearly gates, is that it?
It would be nice.
Oh, don't be a child, for God's sake. This idea that you'll find your answers when you die, it's silly. And it's naive to think that death presents some great opportunity. What if we're only destined to break down and become fertilizer for those who come after us?
You don't believe that. You know there's something more to all of this than just fertilizer.
Do I?
All right, Rue. We could debate this point from now until the end of time and never reach a consensus. So let's take our minds off this discussion and try to figure out what Hans and the boys are up to.
Speer must be the mastermind in this operation. No offense to your former boyfriend, but I don't think he's got the brains to spearhead something like this.
I agree. His brains have nothing to do with his spearhead.
Oh, please. That's the last thing I need to hear about now. Honestly.
Okay. So, if Speer is behind all of this, why does he want the pearl? What do we actually know about it?
It's radioactive. There is a certain power in that alone.
Is it possible Speer knew about it being radioactive? I don't recall him saying anything specifically about that, but the legend he told me made it clear that anyone coming in contact with the pearl suffered some sort of misfortune.
So, he told you that story and put the suggestion in your mind that something bad would happen to you. And then when Shusia told you the same thing, it simply strengthened the suggestion. Almost like hypnosis.
But the danger was real. I did get sick.
And we thought Heinkel did too.
He must have faked it. And when he went missing those two times, was it to plant explosives? To simulate the earthquake?
So they could grab the pearl. That's really what they wanted all along. Speer plays the heroic role, supposedly sacrificing himself, and we both fell for it. In reality, he and Heinkel secured the pearl and got it ready for transport.
But how could they transport it? It's radioactive.
We don't know the nature of the radiation coming off it, but they could have simply brought along a storage container that we didn't even see.
How would they have carried that? We were with them the whole time.
Have you seen magicians perform? All those wonderful tricks they do?
Sure.
They rely on misdirection. Watch this hand while the other is doing all the work. Speer took the lead right after me going into the tunnel, right?
Yes.
So we tended to be focused on him while Heinkel, Gottlieb, and Mueller were relegated to the background. You focused on Hans and I focused on Speer. The real threat was always out of our awareness.
So Heinkel and the others could have brought everything they needed with them?
Of course. And when Heinkel disappeared the first time, he could have gone back into the tunnel, for example, and brought up both the explosives and the protective container, and we wouldn't have been any wiser. It appeared that he'd been grabbed, but he hadn't. He'd simply gone back, grabbed the gear, and come back along a different route.
Speer would have had to guess that the pearl was radioactive in some way.
Maybe he did. Maybe he simply thought it would be some sort of energy device. And being intelligent, because he certainly is, he simply took steps to anticipate any contingency. The radiation may have been as much a surprise to him as any of us. But he would have planned ahead for that possibility.
We are playing a bad game of catch-up here, and I don't much care for it.
The real question now is, what do they hope to achieve in America? And Massachusetts, no less.
George said he'd try to work on that and have something for us by the time we land in Boston.
Let's hope he doesn't take too long. Time does not seem to be a luxury we have a great deal of at the moment.
I know he'll work his ass off. Especially if he happens to think that dinner is riding on it.
Stop using sex as a weapon, Anya.
What did you say?
Nothing. I heard that phrase in a song the other day, and I've been dying to say it ever since.
Well, glad I could oblige.
The cabin door opened, and the flight attendant entered.
Is there anything you need?
I could go for a whiskey on the rocks, thank you. Anya?
Just a pillow, please?
Certainly. I'll be right back.
You've been drinking a lot lately. You okay?
Why? Do you want to be my sponsor?
Do I need to be?
I enjoy my drinks, Anya. Leave me to them, if you please.
Fair enough.
Here's your drink, sir.
Thank you.
I'll be right back with your pillow, Miss Creed.
Thank you.
Rue took a sniff of his drink and nodded as if he approved. Then, just before he took a sip, he made a very subtle gesture. Anya caught the movement.
What was that?
What was what?
That movement you made, like you were toasting someone.
Rue paused as the flight attendant returned.
Here's your pillow.
Thank you. Well?
Today happens to be an anniversary of sorts, for a special someone I lost a long time ago. Now put your head on that pillow and go to sleep. Allow me to enjoy some memories in peace.
Anya slept through the refueling in Honolulu and only woke when Rue tapped her on the arm. She was alert immediately.
Where are we?
Boston, according to the pilot. We're starting our preliminary approach, but we're not landing at Logan.
Why not?
Apparently, this plane is more welcome at military fields. So we are landing in Bedford, Massachusetts at Hanscom Field, part of an Air Force base, but it also handles civilian planes like this one.
Civilian, right.
Oh, I've been out for a while, I guess.
Hours and hours. It was pleasant being alone with my thoughts. Did you get some good sleep?
Actually, yes. I feel like I slept better on this plane than I have in months.
Strange how that happens sometimes.
Before Anya could respond, the flight attendant came toward her with a phone.
Excuse me, Miss Creed. I've got a phone call for you.
Thank you.
Hello?
How's the flight?
It's amazing, George. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, sure you can. But we'll talk about that later. For right now, we've got other things to discuss.
Did you find a connection?
And how? Turns out the German chancellor is vacationing in Massachusetts, on Martha's Vineyard. The president is supposed to join her in a few days.
Well, that's good news, right? I mean, if the chancellor is there now and our president is coming in soon, then that means the Secret Service will have that place buttoned up so much a cockroach couldn't sneak through.
Presumably, but it depends on what your team of lunatics might be trying to do. If they're going to kidnap, then yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But if they're looking to blow them all to hell, then depending on the explosive, they wouldn't need to breach the perimeters that the Secret Service will have set up.
That would mean a lot of explosives, wouldn't it?
Usually. Unless they had access to, say, something nuclear. Then they could be back on Cape Cod and set the thing off, and it would vaporize everything within 20 miles, depending on the yield. Or they could use a dirty bomb, set it off, and make everyone ill with radiation sickness. That's pretty nasty stuff, too. So what do you think they're up to?
I don't know. There's a chance they might have access to nuclear material, though.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Anya, I'm going to have to escalate this accordingly. You know that, right?
Yes. But the thing is, we need to get these guys now. If they get wind that we know about it, then they'll go to ground and we'll never find out where that nuke is.
Are you sure they've got a nuke?
I don't know.
Well, what the hell does that mean?
It means I don't know, George. I wish I did. We were in the Philippines to find some long-lost giant pearl, but it turns out that it wasn't a pearl after all. It was some sort of naturally radioactive object that could power lights, supply oxygen, and all that stuff.
Are you messing with me, Anya?
Definitely not.
I don't know how I'm going to take this to my bosses. What am I supposed to say? That I think there might be a band of crazy ex-special ops guys looking to take out the German chancellor using some sort of naturally radioactive globe of something?
I know it's not the most plausible scenario.
It's not even close.
So what do we do?
Fortunately for you, you happen to be on the phone with the original man with the plan. Leave it to me, and I'll get something cooking on this. You guys are slated to land at Hanscom. Stay there until I contact you.
You sure?
Yeah, gotta run.
This whole thing sounds ridiculous.
Not necessarily. There are such things as naturally occurring radioactive materials. They're called norms, and they're a byproduct of the oil and gas industry. You don't normally find them in such a form as the pearl, but the concept, at least, is not unbelievable.
What a relief.
Even more, the U.S. government doesn't actively regulate norms. Someone with enough creativity and ingenuity could theoretically put enough together to at least create some type of dirty bomb. It's not as though this whole thing is completely crazy. There are precedents for it.
Really? Another band of ex-KSK commandos got their hands on a radioactive relic and planned to kill someone with it? When did that happen?
You should really restrain that sarcasm of yours, Anya. It does get tedious after a while.
I'll keep that in mind. In the meantime, George wants us to stay put once we land at Hanscom.
Why?
He's putting something together.
Wonderful. No doubt it will be a platoon of government bureaucrats all jockeying to further their own careers while a potential disaster looms. I've always found it so fascinating that these people are supposed to be keeping others safe, and yet, at the end of the day, they're exactly like the very people they claim to keep us safe from. Everyone's out for their own good. That bottom line is all-powerful.
Well, I don't hear you coming up with any excellent plans of your own. I'm all ears if you've got one formulating.
What's the target?
As far as George can tell, it's on Martha's Vineyard.
Really? How nice. Charming little island. I used to visit it frequently back in the 1980s. I had quite a nice sail in Nantucket Sound with a very prestigious television news anchor who used to summer there. Oh, the stories he would tell me over a few bottles of wine. Fascinating stuff, truly.
Rue?
Oh, all right. Let me think about it. We should be on the ground fairly soon, right?
The plane banked at that moment and started to descend at a steep angle.
Seatbelts, please. We've been directed to come in fast.
Why fast? What's wrong with slow?
Outside Anya's window, trees and buildings and highways and cars came into view all at once. She saw other planes nearby, including several fighter jets. They must have used those to scramble in case of a terrorist incident on board a civilian plane. And then the plane was coming in, and Anya felt the first touchdown as the wheels made contact with the tarmac. The nose of the plane came down, and they were back on the ground after nearly 12 hours in the air.
I happen to hate airplane landings. Truly awful things.
You're afraid of flying?
You would be too if you were around during the initial days when no one knew what the hell they were doing.
Good point.
Let's get out of here. I need to feel solid earth under my feet again.
They thanked the pilot and crew and stepped off the plane. Hanscom Field had been converted to a mostly civilian airfield, although it was adjacent to the part used by the U.S. Air Force. Anya looked at the line of corporate jets parked near hangars.
It's a lot less busy here than at a regular airport.
From the nearby terminal building, a young man ran up to the aircraft.
Welcome to Hanscom, Anya.
George?
Figure it would be better if we did it this way.
How'd you get here so fast?
It's a skip from Washington. A little less time than coming across the Pacific Ocean.
I guess.
George had trimmed down and cleaned himself up considerably since the last time Anya had seen him. He still had thick glasses perched atop his nose, but he looked like he'd been working out. And his clothes looked clean and fit him properly.
You've been made over, huh?
You like? Pretty different from the last time you saw me.
Definitely.
If we could skip the pleasantries, I think we have more pressing matters to discuss.
You must be Rue.
I am.
Nice to meet you. Why don't you guys come into the building? I've commandeered a corner office so we can talk this out. We've only got a little time before this turns into a three-ring circus, so I want to be sure we have all the facts straight before the clowns get here and ruin everything.
Sounds good.
They walked into the main building, but aside from a lone state trooper, Anya saw little in the way of security. George led them up to the second floor and into an office. He promptly locked the door behind him. On the table was a top-of-the-line laptop computer. George sat down behind it and typed in his password.
All right, so let's go over this again.
Anya took him through everything that had happened over the past several days. Rue interrupted at key points, including taking 5 minutes to describe how Anya had apparently single-handedly killed a massive tiger shark intent on devouring her.
A tiger shark?
Rue, you're not helping matters.
When they were finally finished, George leaned back and put his hands behind his head.
That's some pretty crazy shit.
I know, but it's the truth.
Oh, I know it's true. I mean, we've got the evidence to prove these guys are up to no good. But the situation is just bizarre. I mean, how the hell would they transport something radioactive on a civilian bird? They set off all sorts of alarms. I don't even know if it can be done.
Unless they had someone helping them on the inside. For a team of experienced operators like these guys, with Speer's money to back them up, that wouldn't be too difficult to achieve.
Good point.
George checked his watch.
Their plane ought to be landing in the next 30 minutes. That means we've got a small window to plan our strategy. And it better be good, or we could turn a picturesque seaside tourist attraction into a glow-in-the-dark hunk of barren rock.
Not if we have anything to do with it.
George looked at his watch again.
Unfortunately, in about 5 minutes, this place is going to be overrun with suits looking to get their next promotion based on how well this operation unfolds. And based on previous experience, they're not going to respect anyone else's opinions. Which is why we need someone whose opinion they will respect.
You have someone in mind?
An old friend of yours, Anya.
George opened the door, and Anya saw a face she hadn't seen since the jungles of the Philippines a long time ago.
Vic?
Hi, Anya. Long time no see.
This is your doing?
Think of it as me stacking the deck in my favor, that's all. When Vic tells them the facts surrounding this situation, they'll listen.
Vic extended his hand in Rue's direction.
Hi.
Vic, this is Rue. Rue, this is Vic Gutierrez, gunnery sergeant with the Marine Corps.
Ex-Marine, actually. I'm with another agency at this time.
Which agency? Or can't you say?
Exactly. And besides, it's not important. When George called me and told me what was up, I got here as soon as I could. You're looking good, Anya. Still getting into all sorts of trouble, I see.
I was on vacation, I swear it.
Weren't you on vacation the last time you were over there? Right before the Abu Sayyaf grabbed you?
That poor country has a bad reputation with me. George, how did you know about Vic?
I told you that I followed some of your adventures with great enthusiasm. You know how some people search Google to find references to themselves? I did that, only on my computers. I wanted to see if you'd had any dealings with the government. Imagine my surprise when Vic's name came up.
I've had plenty of dealings with spies and soldiers. Sometimes they don't end all that well.
Sometimes they do. So, George, bring me up to speed here. I'm hearing chatter that there's a phalanx of bureaucrats on their way here to ruin any hope of resolving this thing intelligently.
George led Vic over to his computer, and Anya watched as the former hacker briefed the former Marine sniper. Vic looked different in a suit, but Anya could tell by his bearing that he was still every inch a warrior. When the briefing was finished, Vic looked at Anya and Rue.
Well, this is something to tell the grandkids, huh?
Something like that? Will it be a problem?
It depends on who walks through that door. We could get lucky and score someone with half a brain they don't mind using. Chances are, however, that we'll get a bunch of opportunists looking to rubber stamp their own careers, even at the cost of thousands of lives.
That's not exactly doing a lot for my morale.
Which is exactly why you and your buddy Rue are leaving. Immediately.
What are you talking about? We brought this to you. I want in on anything that happens.
Relax, Anya. I'm not cutting you out completely. I just don't want you guys around when the bullshit brigade arrives. The less they know of the situation, the better off we'll be.
That doesn't even sound like it's supposed to make sense.
Smart man, it's not. I'll give them just enough intel to convince them how bad the situation is. Once they realize that, they'll want to stay far away from it, which means they'll turn over command to me.
You've got that kind of sway?
It's been a few years since the jungle, Anya. You wouldn't believe what kind of pull I can get if I ask real nice.
Okay.
The problem with these idiots is that if they see civilians are involved, they'll start throwing their weight around, dismissing facts, and pretty much doing everything in their power to give this guy Speer exactly what he wants. A genuine clusterfuck.
So where are we going then?
Martha's Vineyard. I want eyes on the ground there. George and I will join you, along with a select team of operators, once I get this mess cleared up.
Speaking of which, I think your brigade just arrived.
Anya looked out the window and saw a fleet of black SUVs had rolled into the parking lot. From within, dozens of men in suits with phones stuck to their ears spilled out and stalked toward the terminal building.
Oh, shit, that was fast. All right, you two get the hell out of here. You're just two people catching a flight to somewhere. Take the back stairway down and find Hangar 5. There's a chopper there already spinning its rotors.
That'll take us to Martha's Vineyard?
Yep, now go.
They hurried down the back stairway, as Vic had told them. Outside on the tarmac, a stiff breeze blew in from the west. As they wandered the flight line, Rue pointed at a hangar on their left.
There it is.
Just outside the hangar, a Bell helicopter painted blue with yellow trim sat spinning up its rotors. The pilot waved them aboard. Anya climbed in and slid over so Rue could sit next to her. The pilot motioned for them to put on headsets.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks. You know where we're going?
Sure do. Sit back and enjoy the ride. We'll be there before you know it.
Okay, you're clear for takeoff.
Roger.
Anya looked out the window and saw the ground falling away fast. They skimmed at treetop level until the pilot adjusted his heading and increased their altitude. Then they were off on a straight course bound for Martha's Vineyard. Anya had been to Massachusetts a few times, but she couldn't recognize any landmarks as they flew farther southeast. She watched the cities and towns fall away beneath her. Rue, for his part, just looked annoyed.
You okay, Rue?
I am tired of flying. If God had meant us to do this, he would have given us wings.
But the view is incredible. You've got to admit that.
My eyes are closed. Wake me up when we get there.
Anya leaned back and looked out toward the horizon. She could already see the Atlantic Ocean far off to the south. The pilot pointed ahead of them.
That's where we're going. Beautiful day for flying.
Anya agreed. She hoped Vic was right about the bureaucrats. They couldn't afford to screw this up. Everything had to work out perfectly, or else Speer and his gang of ex-Special Ops commandos could succeed in killing the German Chancellor, and possibly the American President as well. Beneath the helicopter, the landscape changed from taller trees to shrub, pine, and sand. And then they were out over Nantucket Sound, flying into Martha's Vineyard. Anya could see the boats and the water, the sandy beaches, and the darker blue of the Atlantic Ocean far below.
We should be down in 5 minutes. Stand by, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Anya then nudged Rue awake.
Almost there. I thought you'd want to see us land.
No. Why do you torment me so, Anya Creed?
Because I enjoy it.
Apparently.
The helicopter flew over a small airfield and then slowed, started to rotate, and the ground came up at them with a suddenness that made Anya's stomach drop slightly. The skids of the chopper touched down.
Thanks for flying with us.
Thanks for the lift.
Anya removed her headset. She stepped out of the chopper, Rue following close behind.
Thank God that's over.
I wonder where we go from here. You think Vic's got something set up already?
That would require quite a bit of planning on his part. And considering George only just filled him in on things, I'd say it's doubtful we have a solid plan in place.
I guess we should do as he says and just look to get some eyes on the target. See if Speer and the gang show up.
Rue checked his watch.
They'd need to either drive or fly down here. If they drove, they'd have to catch a ferry. If their plane landed on time and if they flew, then they could already be here.
I think they'll probably drive down and take the ferry. They'd be less obvious that way.
Good point.
We need to get into town and find out where the Chancellor is staying on the island. Once we get that information, we can plan accordingly.
You know any sort of action we take is going to immediately put us on the radar of the Chancellor's security people, and possibly also the Secret Service, right?
What about it?
I'm as attention-averse as Speer. The last thing I want is people looking into my background and figuring out that I should have died about 520 years ago.
You really think that they'd be able to find that kind of information?
It wouldn't be the first time someone tried. And you don't need anyone looking beyond your lightweight celebrity either. Now come on, let's find a shuttle so we can get this game afoot, shall we?
Anya and Rue caught an airport shuttle into Edgartown. But even as they drove closer to the outskirts of the town, they could see the increased security was going to be immense. The local police had been supplemented by a serious state police presence, as well as federal agents with the Secret Service, State Department, and a few other organizations. Anya shook her head as they approached the crowded sidewalks of Edgartown.
I can't even imagine why they'd try anything here. They'll never get anywhere close to where the Chancellor is staying.
Maybe they don't need to. If they've figured out how to weaponize that pearl, then all they need to do is detonate it from somewhere they can be certain will take out their target.
Tourists clogged the streets, mostly couples with children, and Anya started to seethe. A nuclear device of any type would result in an untold number of casualties. Rue put a hand on her arm.
I can feel the rage boiling off you. Just try to control yourself. Otherwise, we'll end up drawing too much attention. We've got a job to do.
I've got a job to do. I'm the one with the sword, remember?
Yeah, that doesn't mean you can't have a friend along to help as well. Or a few, for that matter, since George and Vic will be along too.
A few moments later, they got off the shuttle in front of a souvenir shop.
Hello?
Anya? It's George. You guys get there okay?
Yes, we caught a shuttle at the airport. We're in Edgartown right now.
Good. We're coming to you. Don't move, okay?
You're here already.
Then Anya saw the black SUV across the street, and George waving them over. She nudged Rue.
There they are. Let's go.
They crossed the street and climbed into the back seat of the SUV. George was driving. Vic was dressed in black assault gear, load-bearing equipment, and had enough ammunition on him to outfit a small revolution. But he smiled when they climbed in.
Welcome to Martha's Vineyard.
How did you guys get here so fast?
F-15. It's a little faster than a helicopter.
I thought an F-15 could only seat two people.
Well, they gave George here one of his own.
Don't ask. It's not an experience I ever want to repeat.
We flew into Otis on the Cape and then choppered over. I briefed the Secret Service and grabbed one of their war wagons.
How did it go with the suits back at Hanscom?
Well, they moved the Incident Command Center into Boston so they could have easier access to good places to drink and massages at their hotels. But otherwise, I managed to convince them that this would be better handled by a small unit, who could close in on the assassins and deal with them without the need for any artillery strikes.
What he means is he got them to sit the hell down and shut the hell up while we went to work.
Are you trained for this?
Technically, nope. But Vic says on-the-job training is the best kind there is, so here I am.
You're not serious.
My man George wanted to come along. He says he's qualified on firearms, so who am I to deny him some fun?
This isn't fun, Vic. These guys are professionals.
I know that, Anya. I've heard of the KSK before.
In that case, why are you bringing along an amateur? No offense, George.
Hey, you're not Delta Force either. So how is it that you get to be here and I don't?
There are some things you don't exactly know about me, George. Things that will actually make me an asset to the team.
If it wasn't for me, you guys wouldn't even know where to begin. You'd be home wondering where they were when the mushroom cloud went up. You owe me, and you know it. And I'm here and ready to go.
He says he wants in. I'm fine with it. Besides, I've got a few more friends scattered around the island. And a few others making their way here right now.
Operators?
Surgeons, as it were.
George steered them through traffic, occasionally flashing the red and blue lights on the war wagon. People got out of his way, and they left the town behind and got on the road, heading out toward the residential areas.
The German Chancellor's staying in Gayhead. It's the same home that the President stayed in when he was here last summer. It's got a commanding view of the Atlantic, and it's fairly well isolated. Not as much as we'd like, obviously, given the nature of the island, but enough for us to put some hides in and make sure we don't let those guys get close.
How did the Secret Service take to your briefing? I imagine they wanted to spearhead the operation.
I had to juggle the State Department with them, but fortunately, I'm with an agency that overrules those guys on a routine basis. They'll cooperate as long as things don't get too hairy for their taste. If they think their principals are in danger, they'll evacuate immediately. Secret Service has moved a chopper onto the property and the pilot's on a 5-minute standby at all times.
Fun for him. Has the Chancellor been briefed?
I don't know if State passed along the intel. I imagine they will, because if anything does happen, the Germans will want to know why they weren't told their leader was in grave danger. State will go to all lengths to avoid that kind of diplomatic faux pas.
I don't blame them. The last thing we'd want is the same situation to unfold on foreign soil around our president.
Exactly.
Vic pointed ahead to a vehicle checkpoint that they were rapidly approaching.
You guys stay cool back there and let me do the talking as we get through this. Once we're on the grounds, we'll have a bit more freedom to do our thing.
George slowed the car and slid the window down as two agents stepped forward with guns ready to bear on the SUV. One of the agents leaned forward but kept his distance.
Identification.
Vic leaned over George and showed a laminated ID card.
Day word is Cherokee.
Have a good day.
Two more agents by the roadblock raised the barrier and let them pass through. Anya looked back as they drove past.
Is that normal security for something like this?
No, it's a little tighter. I had to compromise somewhat with the service. But it's not overboard as yet. If our hit team does surveillance, it shouldn't alert them that we're on to them. Remember, we want them to think they've left you far behind in the Philippines and no one knows they're coming. The last thing we want is for them to get spooked and vanish with that nuclear whatever it is.
Anya watched as the main compound came into view. The Secret Service and State Department had obviously tried their best to blend in, but concealing 24 agents, plus the German Chancellor's own security detail, was a little difficult in the bucolic estate setting. Anya could see the war wagons, SUVs packed with all sorts of high-powered weaponry for repelling an assault, and the escape cars as well. Across a field sat a gray, shingled, weathered barn that had probably stood for 100 years. And yet, she could clearly see the rotor blades of a helicopter sticking out of it. All it would take was two men to shove it clear of the roof, and they could be airborne within 5 minutes. She knew there'd be other precautions, too. Looking out at the sea, she spotted a few boats. One was a Coast Guard cutter, and the others were apparently civilian sailboats and yachts. Anya didn't believe they were all civilian, however.
Some of my people will be offshore. They'll have eyes on the grounds here at all times. Staggered shifts, that sort of thing.
So where do we fit into all of this? I mean, it looks like you've got this entire place sealed up tight as a drum.
We do, but there's always a chance that they'll get through. We have no way of knowing what type of assault this will be. Frontal, suicidal, there are too many variables at this point. So we try to cover as many possibilities as we can. But we can't outthink these guys because they're the only ones who know what they'll do.
So we're here to help you think of any possibilities that you haven't covered, is that it?
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you could make all of this happen so quickly, Vic. And you too, George. I hope you weren't too offended by what I said back in Edgartown.
I was devastated. But I know you had my best interests at heart.
Vic pointed over near the barn.
Put it there, George, and then we'll get you all suited up.
George wheeled the war wagon in close to the barn. Vic led them around to the trunk. He smiled as they approached.
You ever seen what the service carries in these things when they're trailing the president around?
Nope.
Vic opened the tailgate and threw back the tarp.
Behold.
A dizzying arsenal greeted their eyes. Anya saw several Laws rocket launchers, two M60 machine guns, two Saw machine guns, three sniper rifles, and an assortment of close-quarters submachine guns like the MP5 and the LRWC-PSD. A dozen pistols and ammunition of various kinds rounded out that part of the truck. Vic showed them where the body armor was stored and the medical trauma packs. When he was finished giving them the guided tour, he stepped back.
Pretty incredible stuff, huh?
So many fun toys to play with in here.
That's a hell of a lot of firepower.
Well, they take their job seriously. They protect the most powerful man on the planet and have to be able to repel an invasion force if necessary. They've got my respect, that's for sure.
Vic reached back in and came out with several duffel bags.
Gear for you guys to change into. We're a little short on accommodations around here, so duck into the barn and get into the coveralls. Meet me back here and we'll arm up.
The three of them walked past the chopper and into the barn and dropped their bags. Anya frowned.
George, would you mind turning around? You're turning around too, Rue.
Once they were all changed, there was nothing to do but wait.
We've got agents everywhere all over the island, plus a whole ton of them back on the mainland. If they take a ferry over here, we'll know it. At least, that's the plan.
The odds of you catching them are pretty slim. These guys aren't amateurs.
I know. But I had to set it up so that everyone back in D.C. is happy. And who knows? We might get lucky.
You would have to be extraordinarily lucky. Something tells me that Speer has thought this entire matter through.
So, who exactly are you again? I mean, I realize Anya vouched for you and everything, but I don't know you from Adam. How do you know Anya?
If not for me, Anya would not be the woman that she is today.
Okay, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
It's okay, Rue. Vic knows about the sword. We go back a ways.
Fine.
Vic, Rue was with me when the sword chose to become a part of me.
What sword?
Anya looked around and saw the coast was clear.
Gah!
Oh, that never gets old.
What the? Where? How the teetotal bloody...
George, I don't have time to explain it, so please don't bother asking me a bunch of questions. It's part of me. I can draw it out and use it to defend myself. But other than that, I'm still figuring things out, okay?
That is awesome! It's like Dungeons and Dragons!
Okay, so you and Anya have a history with each other. And I'm assuming you were involved with this Speer guy, too.
I accompanied them on the dives, yes.
So you think this guy is too smart for us?
He is very smart, but he's not infallible. You may indeed get lucky, as you say, but I wouldn't bank on it. What bothers me is that Speer seems to have known a lot more about the Pearl, that is to say, the nuclear device, than any of us knew about it. Strange, too, considering I make a hobby out of studying such things.
Admitting he pulled one over on you, Rue? That's gotta be a first for you.
I can admit when I've been bettered. The job now is to make sure it doesn't happen again.
In the high grass overlooking the bluff that the main estate house sat on, Anya lay next to Vic. Vic scanned the area of the beach with his binoculars. The sun had started to set, and the sea began to darken.
Anything?
Nah, not a damn thing. You're sure about this target, right?
George assured me that this was the only one that makes sense. There's no other reason for them to be in Massachusetts.
Nah, I'm still foggy on motive. So, what, they get revenge for a KSK mission gone awry or something like that?
Either that, or because they all got the boot from the KSK for harboring radical beliefs. George said that Speer espouses a far-right-wing political ideology. Maybe they're after the Chancellor because she's too liberal? I'm not up on my German politics, so I can't say for certain.
So, get rid of the German Chancellor, and then what? Establish yourself as the new leader of Germany? These guys are that far off the deep end?
They certainly seem to be. Although at the time, they struck me as being perfectly normal.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem with psychopaths. They look perfectly normal until you get to know them.
Where'd you position George and Rue?
Back at the house, closer to the rest of the protection detail. I hope you don't mind, but I wanted George a little bit closer to the professionals.
I thought you said...
Yeah, I know what I said, but I wasn't gonna humiliate the guy in front of you. I mean, it's obvious he's crazy about you.
You old softy.
Hey, don't let that get out, okay? I might not be in the Marines anymore, but I've still got a rep.
Your secret's safe with me.
Anya scanned the beach, but it was becoming too dark to see much of anything.
Here, use these.
Vic handed Anya a pair of night vision binoculars, and she turned them on. Anya brought them up to her eyes, and the beach stood out in brilliant lime-green luminescence. She scanned up and down the beach, but didn't see anything but waves.
You're right, Vic. Nothing out there.
That's what's got me worried. They could be anywhere, but we wouldn't know it until it's too late.
The waves continued to crash on the shore. Anya and Vic continued to lie amid the high grass, watching the surrounding area. Night fell, and an hour went by.
Yes. Which one? Okay, let me know if you hear anything else later. Shit.
What is it?
Field report from the agents looking for these guys. Seems they had one guy matching a description who took an earlier ferry. Gottlieb. Then he disappeared.
What about the others?
That's just it. No one seems to know where they might have vanished to.
If Gottlieb came over to the island, then he must still be here somewhere.
Unless he's meant to be bait to see if we know they're coming. Send him in advance, test the waters, so to speak. And if we snatch him, they know we're onto their plan.
And then they can regroup and plan another attack.
Right. And we get nothing.
Anya took another look through the night vision binoculars, scanning up and down the beach, and then back toward the main house.
Vic, I can't stop thinking that there's no way we can monitor every access point onto this island. What's to stop Speer and his team from renting a boat? Hell, they could buy one if they wanted and simply sailing over here.
But we've got boats out monitoring the maritime traffic.
Yeah, but how many boats can they check out? There will always be some that slip through.
So you think we might be staging this role? That they'll come in by boat?
It's a possibility, right?
Anything is at this point.
The only thing we have working for us is that they don't know we're onto them.
Yeah, but any team worth its salt will always assume that the opposition knows about them. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
What?
We just picked up Gottlieb in a bar downtown.
Bait?
Almost certainly. But I gotta take a crack at him. We don't have anything else to go on.
Yeah, let me go with you.
You sure?
He knows me. I might get him to reveal something that he wouldn't say otherwise.